Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Aaron and I are back. Woo! Who's glad to see us back? We're really glad to be back. You know, we had a wonderful week in Thailand. We had a wonderful 2 weeks in the States. And hallelujah, we couldn't wait to come back because, you know, even while we were away, we just felt the stirring of God for what He's doing here in Korea right now. And I didn't want to miss a thing. Hallelujah. Just as Aerosmith sang, I don't want to miss a thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before I begin, I want to just explain something. When you come into our church, it might feel a little bit empty because there's a lot of empty seats. All right. Just for those who don't know, we put out these empty seats on purpose, okay? These seats are called faith rows, okay? We don't put them out for people to sit on. Rather, we put them out as an act of faith, okay? Pretty much, we have set up every single chair in this floor, okay? And it's an act of faith. So if you're sitting, other than mommy and daddy, if you're sitting on those last rows, there's like a gap before those last rows, I want you to empty out those seats and sit up to the front. All right. Hallelujah. And we can just respect that. Okay. And, you know, I just want to commend the service team. It takes a lot of work to put out these faith rows and to take them down each week. But they've been doing it so faithfully since the summer. And I know that we don't need that many seats right now, but it's our prophetic act of faith. And the Bible says faith pleases God. Amen. And I believe that when we put out those extra chairs, to man, it may seem foolish, but to God, it's faith. You know, most churches, they put out extra chairs when more people come. Okay, we're a little backward here. Okay, we put out the extra chairs, hallelujah, believing that people will come. Amen? Because we want to be a church that walks by faith, not by sight. Amen? And you know what? 1 month, these seats are going to be empty. And then the next month, suddenly, bam! They are going to be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say 300. 300. Hallelujah. And while we're on the topic, today I'm going to start something new. These first two rows here, you'll see that they are empty. Okay, and beginning this week, these first two rows will also be reserved. Okay, and I'm going to call these two rows River Rows. Okay. These are the seats where the river of God is going to flow in a special, mighty way. You believe in it? I see some of y'all are curious. Hallelujah. And I want the service team, I told the service team to get laminated signs to get ready these river rows. These are consecrated rows. And these rows will be especially reserved for people who are personally chosen. Okay. So it will change now and then, but for now, okay, these are the people that I want on these first front row. I want them right now on this front row. Okay. First of all, it's going to be the intern pastors. Okay. Move on up. Get all your stuff. Move on up to the front row. Okay. Anita. Okay. Our sister Susie. And my wife. Come on up. All right, make your way up. All right, they're going to fill up the front row. Hallelujah. And this second of the river row, okay, is going to be reserved for people that are flowing in that river and they're hungry for more of the anointing. Okay, just people who are hungry. I want the hungriest people here at JSCM to fill up that second row, okay? So, you know, I don't want people sitting in front of me that are going to distract me. Or they're going to give me blank stares, okay? I want people that are going to encourage the anointing of the Spirit to flow. You know, I don't want those spirit of criticism or cynicism or doubt. Okay, I want people, I'm going to be surrounded by people, hallelujah, that's going to keep that flow going. Hallelujah. So on a count of three, if you feel moved to and there's some space left, I want you to fill up the second row. One, two, three, go. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Very good. Hallelujah. Okay, and if there's high demand, I'll expand it by another row, depending on what the demand is like each week. All right, so hallelujah. Yeah. All right, this is what I picked up from Benny Hinn. He does this. All right, he's very particular about who he surrounds himself with in the front rows. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah. That's a smart man right there. Because I'm telling you, people who sit near you, man, they affect the anointing. All right? One moment I'm in the spirit, next moment they distract me, I'm in the flesh. You know, I'm getting all distracted and upset or something like that. I don't want nothing to cut the flow of the anointing. And as I surround myself with people that are really flowing in the river, all right, that's going to increase the anointing of the entire sermon and the time of ministry. And so it's going to result in greater blessing for everybody. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And Brian, starting next week, I want the praise team to sit in these two rows. All right. So the praise team right there. I got my river rows here. And then I might, expand it to these two rows. And then we'll go backward from there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kevin, you hungry? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. I feel it. Doing good. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take a moment before I start my message to say something that's going to bring a big shift into our congregation. And I'm going to say something about Bible translations. Okay. During my trip to the States, I read a short pamphlet called Choosing a Bible by Leland Ryken. Okay, this is it. It's real thin. Just a few pages. Okay, read it while I was in line waiting for a Benny Hinn conference. And although I don't agree with every single detail that he said, okay, I have received the conviction from the Spirit regarding the main points of this pamphlet. Okay, so listen up. If you'd like to discuss the various issues, let me know. Okay, I'm not an expert in these issues, but I know the conviction of the Spirit when I see it, okay, when I feel it. Hallelujah. And starting today, as your leader, I'm going to make a decision. Okay? I want everyone in JACM to get yourself a translation of the Bible that is essentially literal. All right. Essentially literal. Okay? This is going to help with Bible study, with preaching, with teaching. All right. With small groups, this is going to help in many ways, okay? Now, here are examples of essentially literal translations. Top on the list, King James Version. All right, I know some of y'all are like, I ain't getting no King James. All right, now, just as a reference, King James is the best, one of the best literal translations out there. Because King James had access to certain manuscripts that today's scholars may not have access to. And if you really read it, it's beautifully written. It's like Shakespearean, kind of like beautifully written. It's also very true to the original manuscripts, word for word. All right, so there's a King James. That's probably at the top of the list. And then here's the other essentially literal. It's not, I know there are people that are like only King James people, all right? But that's not what I'm advocating here, okay? New King James Version, okay? NASB, that's the New American Standard Bible. And the ESV. Okay, those are the four I'm going to name. Okay, King James Version, New King James Version, NASB, and ESV. Okay. Now, I know King James is considered the most authoritative by many. Okay, but because of the best balance of readability and literalness, I'm choosing the ESV as the authoritative version that we're going to read most often at JSEM. Doesn't mean we're throwing out all the other translations, but ESV, all right, is what I, as your lead pastor, all right, English Standard Version. English Standard Version. Anyone have an ESV in the house? Huh? You got? You have one at home? Okay. Very good. All right. All right. So no, not on the iPod. I want you to have a. All right, on paper. All right. So everyone, I want everyone to go out and get a copy of the ESV. There's a new study Bible. I know NIV study Bible is very popular, and it's one of the good ones out there. But there's a brand new one that just came out this month. It's called the ESV Study Bible. All right. I highly recommend it. Check out the promo video on Amazon.com, or you can just go to esvstudybible.org. Okay. And there's some very respected leaders who are commending this translation and this study Bible. It's a study Bible. Hallelujah. ESV has been around for a longer time, but the study Bible just came out. Okay. So from now on, I'm going to preach and I'm going to quote most often from essentially literal translations. Okay. And I'm going to ask the prayer team and the media team from now on to use the ESV when you're posting PowerPoint. All right. Everyone got that? Okay. And if you can't go out and get one right now, you can go to BibleGateway.com and use it for a reference until you get yourself a copy. ESV. Hallelujah. All right. And let me just explain real quick. There are three kinds of Bibles out there right now. All right. And here it goes. The first is essentially literal. All right. And I'll name some examples of that. The second is dynamic equivalent. Okay. And that's the NIV, the NLT, New Living Translation. These are dynamic equivalents. And the third is paraphrase. All right. The Living Bible, The Message by Eugene Peterson. Okay. But that's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. Okay. Now, it's fine to read dynamic equivalents and paraphrases, but I think it's feeble to do so without referencing a copy of an essentially literal version. All right. You see, the latter two kinds of the Bible are not really translations. They're more along the lines of varying degrees of commentary. Now, it's fine to read commentary, but it should never replace the original wording, and we should never forsake theological precision and full interpretive potential for the sake of readability, for the sake of convenience or political correctness. You got that? Hallelujah. If you are a preacher in the house, it's imperative that you study an essentially literal version. Okay? And if you are serious about Bible study, only an essential literal translation will do. Okay. So, hallelujah. This is not new to me. For many years, this is what the Holy Spirit has been directing me. And this pamphlet has simply served to confirm those convictions. Amen? So I'm just sharing with you, not my personal preference, but what I feel and sense is the conviction of the Spirit. Okay. And when I do prepare messages, I often end up referencing King James, NASB, or these essential literal versions. Now, just to save you some money, look, I'm going to blacklist a couple translations for you. Okay. It's not to say, like, you can't read it. It's sin to read it. Okay. But I just, all right. I'm gonna name it out. All right, the TNIV just came out, and the NLT. All right, I've read the NLT. I tried reading through it for a whole year. Okay, these are dynamic equivalents that are very, very thought for thought translations rather than word for word, and they trouble me a lot. They trouble me greatly. As you know, I've been using a dynamic equivalent called the NIV. Okay, and it's wonderful. Okay, it's wonderful. It's a decent, like, middle-of-the-way balance, but it's still more of a dynamic equivalent rather than literal translation. And there's a lot of things the NIV will lose by going thought for thought rather than word for word. But let me just say the TNIV and the NLT, they have boldly departed, okay, from the original text. And it liberally adds, changes, or subtracts words that biblical authors wrote. Okay, so I'm sorry, I don't want you to take it personally if you have a copy with you today. Okay, most people aren't even aware of these Bible translation issues. But I do want to frown upon those versions, and I wouldn't recommend it as your Bible study material. Okay, if you want to study the Bible, you got to have the Bible in front of you. Amen? Okay, I mean, I don't use a Matthew Henry commentary to study the Bible. Okay? I use the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to call that out today, and there's many reasons why I'm making this shift. I'll just give you the main reason today. It's called the doctrine of plenary inspiration. The doctrine of plenary inspiration. This is the belief that the very words of the Bible are inspired. Okay? That the revelation of God resides in the words themselves, not merely in thoughts or ideas. Okay. If you read the Bible, throughout the Bible, Scripture is defined as what? The Word of God. Okay. Not the messages of God or the thoughts of God. It's the Word of God that will stand forever. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, John 6:63, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Okay. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Okay. Essentially, literal translations honor this doctrine to the best of their ability. Dynamic equivalent versions take liberty to translate the ideas rather than the words themselves. Okay. In the process, there's a lot of interpretation going on. Okay. And therefore, only a translation that preserves as much as possible the words in their original state is satisfactory to read as the base from which we study and teach the scriptures. Okay, that's the main reason why I'm bringing this shift here at JSEM. All right. I know most of us, we have the NIV, right? Okay. So again, on the ESV, brothers and sisters, hallelujah. All right. Now, with that said, whatever version you have, the Bible you have today, I want everybody to wave your sword in the air. Come on, go like this. Wave your sword in the air. All right. Make the devil nervous in the service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were in Kentucky, and we heard a lot of good one-liners while we were on our trip. That was one of them that we heard. All right. Wave that sword in the air. Make the devil nervous in the service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to read from the ESV, but if you can turn whatever version of the Bible you have to Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read that scripture and look at that today. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Once again, I'm going to read from the ESV. Just try to follow along. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Amen. That's the ESV. Hallelujah. All right, look, it's uncomfortable for me too, all right? I'm an NIV, like, I have an NIV all my life. Except when I was in sixth grade, I had the Good News Bible. Oh, don't use that to study the Bible. Got, like, stick pictures, stick figures, and translations, like, really poor, like, paraphrased. The Word of God is saying here in this passage, do not be deceived. Why is the Word of God telling us that? Do not be deceived. Why? Because a lot of people get deceived. When they live life, they are not aware of the spiritual truth that is being shared here. Okay? And that truth is, a man reaps what he sows. What the world calls karma is simply a manifestation of this spiritual truth. What goes around comes around. Hallelujah. Well, philosophers, they observe something that is true, that is going on in this universe. All right, but it's not called karma. All right, it's the spiritual truth that is being described here. A man reaps what he sows. Brothers and sisters, all of us throughout life, we are like farmers. We're like farmers. We are constantly sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And what you reap, what you get, will depend on what you sow. Question today is, what have you been reaping in your life? Right? Better question to ask is, what have you been sowing in your life? Because that will give you a clue of why you're reaping the things that you've been reaping. You know, some people, man, they go from one friendship to another. know, and they're reaping these like short-term friendships. And they go, man, how come I always get these bad friends? You know? Well, if you really ask yourself, you know, why am I reaping these bad friendships? It might be a better question is, what are you sowing into these friendships? Hallelujah. Because love never fails. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they sow pride and they reap destruction. You know, it was the Italian tyrant. What was his name? Was it Mussolini? Or was it Mussolini who said this? Somebody said, God, if you're there, then strike me dead. Okay. Was that Mussolini? All right. Well, God answered that prayer. It wasn't in the timing that he thought. God struck him dead. Hallelujah. Some people sow pride, and they reap destruction. Oh, believe me, every person that has sown pride in this lifetime, they have reaped destruction. People that sow lies, theft, sexual immorality, and gluttony, any sin of the flesh, they think that as long as no one finds out, it won't hurt anybody. But the Bible says when you sow to please your flesh, you will from that flesh reap corruption. Corruption. Tell a lie here, you tell a lie there, guess what? Corruption. Your character will be corrupted. Your finances will be corrupted. Your family will get corrupted. You're gonna reap what you're sowing, even though nobody ever finds out. Hallelujah. And you know what? You think you're not hurting nobody, but you know what? You're hurting yourself. Even if nobody found out, you're hurting yourself and others. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:8, King James Version says, he that soweth iniquity reap vanity. He who soweth iniquity reap vanity. Iniquity is like an old word for sin, but it's actually more than just that. I don't have time to explain that right now. But if you sow iniquity, you will reap vanity. And then I talk about vanity like you're so vain. We talk in vanity like futility, worthlessness. Some people sow sin and wickedness all their life, and then they wonder later why their life is so meaningless, so futile. People forget they are deceived very often. But the Bible is telling us, do not be deceived. You are the people of God. Let us keep in mind that a man reaps what he sows. You know what? I think inner city gangsters, they know the spiritual truth. They know it more than anybody else. Okay, you know why? Because I'm telling you right now, they always go around strapped. Why do they go around strapped? Strap means just, you know, carrying a gun, concealed gun. Why do they go around strapped? Because they know they're living by the sword, they will die by the sword. Jesus said it himself. You live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And those gangsters know. Man, they've been taking other people out. They've been dealing with people with violence. That violence is going to come up and catch up to them any moment. That's why they go around strapped. How come gangsters know the spiritual truth, but the people of God? We seem to be missing out so often. We're not aware. Hallelujah. And the question today, brothers and sisters, is what are you sowing? What are you sowing? Are you sowing kindness, encouragement, generosity? Are you sowing love? Hallelujah. Man, sometimes you sow in love and people, they mistreat you. You know? You sow in love for like 3 years of a friendship and then they betray you. And you think, man, what's the use of me sowing love? I'm just reaping heartache. But it's just, love never fails. Hallelujah. And even though you might reap something temporarily, if you keep sowing faithfully and you don't give up, you will reap what what you've sown. Hallelujah. You know, each time I preach faithfully, I'm sowing. I am sowing the word of God into your lives. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, man, brothers and sisters, I can't say enough what a blessing it has been to reap an incredible harvest from JSCM. You know, I just see lives transformed. I just see how just the way people talk, it just changes. It's different. They're filled with the Spirit of God, the fire of God. They have a wholeheartedness for righteousness. They seek God's kingdom first. Man, when I see stuff like that, man, I'm reaping, hallelujah, with joy, what I have sown through the ministry of the word. And you know what? Even if I don't see immediate results, I joyfully sow. You know why? Because of Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Hallelujah. I believe this truth and this promise. That's why I love the ministry of the word of God. I love sowing into people's lives. I love telling people, man, you got to get up on the word of God. You need to wake up. You need to set apart time to read the word of God. You need to fast. So during the time you would normally eat a meal, you open up the word of God and you eat a different kind of meal. Hallelujah. I love telling people that. You know why? Because the ministry of the word of God, it never fails. Hallelujah. You sow in the word of God into your life. Brother and sister, I guarantee you will reap a mighty harvest. Hallelujah. And when the seed of God's word is sown into good soil, humble, teachable, hungry hearts, the word of God says in Matthew 13, 8, it produces a crop that is 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Hallelujah. JSCM, the seed of God's word will produce a hundredfold harvest in your life. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him that. I want the hundredfold harvest. How many of you want the 30? Who wants the 60? All right. How about the 100? Who wants the 100? Hallelujah. Now, if I had to choose, man, I would choose 100. You know what? Jesus put it in that order. He said 100, 60, 30. He didn't go 30, 60, 100. He was like, man, y'all look forward to the hundredfold harvest. Hallelujah. That's the kind of harvest the word of God brings forth. And today, brothers and sisters, I'm here to encourage all of you to sow into the Spirit of God. All right, let's look at Galatians 6:8 again. Galatians 6:8. All right. For your sake, I'll read from the NIV, verse 8. It says, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap corruption," or destruction here. "The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap everlasting life," or eternal life. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap. I like the word everlasting life. That's the original King James Version. I think that's the best picture for what the Bible is talking about. What the spiritual truth is, everlasting life. It's not just eternal life. You know why? Because every time people think of eternal life, they just think about living forever. All right, but these two words, it's not talking about just living forever. It's talking about the quality of that life. Jesus said, "This is everlasting life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Everlasting life is defined as a relationship with God. You know what, brothers and sisters? All of us, we're going to go on to live eternally. Everyone's going to get eternal life, believe me. But what is that kind of life going to be filled with? What is it going to be spent with? What are you going to be surrounded with? Hallelujah. Because everlasting life, you get surrounded by God. Hallelujah. Now, question might be asked, well, I want to sow into the Spirit, but how can I sow to the Spirit? How do I do that? Right? I can't go to the store and buy a bag of seeds, you know, and then sow that into the Spirit. How do I do that? How do I just like throw seeds in the service sometime or something like that? How do I sow into the Spirit? Hallelujah. Well, if you're thinking that way, I don't know if you are, but you are thinking the right along the right line. Okay. In order to sow, what does a farmer need? I'm talking about seed. Hallelujah. Farmer needs some seeds. Hallelujah. I never seen a farmer go out and just till the soil. That farmer goes out with some seed. Somebody say seed.
Seed.
And there are three seeds I'm going to talk about today. I can't talk about all of them. I'm just going to talk about three. Three that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. The first seed is the seed of prayer. Oh, hallelujah. The seed of prayer. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Aaron and I were over in the States. You know, we visited a church that's pastored by Joshua Harris. It's called Covenant Life. It used to be C.J. Mahaney's church. And, you know, this is a charismatic church. But it's not like, it's like charismatic, but a little bit cautious. It's that kind of church. Hallelujah. But you know what? We were there, man. Aaron and I were talking about how the church didn't have a spirit of prayer. You know, they were charismatic. They were open to the gifts of the Spirit. They were open to the moves of God's Spirit. But there was no spirit of prayer. They commissioned five pastors, and God blessed them. They looked like some awesome pastors. Some well-equipped, well-studied, filled with the Holy Spirit pastors. But when they're doing the commissioning prayer, I was like, what? That's it? It was this nicely crafted, you know, well-said prayer. But what about that spirit? What about that spirit of prayer? What about the blessing? Where was the blessing in it? And I was just like, oh, Aaron, I don't sense the spirit of prayer in this place. I mean, I'm sure the church prays. But there's a church that prays, and there's churches that are filled with the spirit of prayer. Amen? We were at the Benny Hinn Conference. Hallelujah. And, you know, we had high expectations for this conference. You know why? You know, we flew out thousands of miles, you know. We had to get a rental car and a hotel, all that stuff. You know, we had some big expectations for this conference. And, you know, and we got some good teaching. And Benny Hinn prayed for everybody, all 3,000 people. Or he just, like, stood there and he did, like, a fire tunnel. It wasn't a tunnel. It was just a fire branch. Fire, I don't know. Yeah. Well, he just laid hands on people. People passed by. You know, and I, by faith, I believe that I received the impartation. All right, Aaron as well. But, you know, one thing that we were a little bit disappointed by was the ministry team of Benny Hinn and the city of Louisville, or at least the people that mostly showed up there, they lacked the spirit of prayer. People weren't praying. And the only time they prayed is when Benny Hinn would be like, people, come on, people. Come on, people. Spirit, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Come on. Pray in the spirit. And then people will pray for 30 seconds and then that'll be it. There's no spirit of prayer. But brothers and sisters, it is so, I think it's so special that we are at a church that is filled with the spirit of prayer. It is really a special thing. Because even churches that are passionate or churches that are going in the direction of being open to the spirit or seeking hotly, passionately pursuing the moves of God's Spirit, you know, they can have all that passion, but they still lack a spirit of prayer. Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, oh, that place has a spirit of prayer. I tell you, hallelujah. That's the church that inspired me to really, as a prayer team leader, get the prayer movement going here at JSCM 2 years ago. Hallelujah. I saw a spirit of prayer in that church. I was like, I want that. I want that. I want that every Sunday. I want that at my church. I don't care what church I'm at. I want that for my church. Hallelujah. Anyway, people who have a spirit of prayer, oh, they sow the seed of prayer. Brothers and sisters, have you been fasting and praying? You know what you're doing? You are sowing the seeds of prayer. Your prayers do not just go into thin air. They're going into heaven. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they are stored up in these bowls, big bowls. get filled with the prayer of the saints. Hallelujah. Rest assured that when you pray, you are sowing seeds of prayer. And just as the scripture says, I believe that all the prayers, they accumulate in heaven and they are remembered by the Lord. And as those seeds are sown continually and watered with faith, I believe that there is a mighty harvest that we shall reap in due time. Amen. Let me encourage you guys. I try to meet up with Brother Michael. All right, hallelujah. When we were in New York. And he was busy. He couldn't meet. Two times I called him, couldn't meet. So I just talked to him on the phone. And Aaron even got to talk to him on the phone. Hallelujah. And he was just sharing some, you know, about some of his struggles and some advice and stuff like that. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, hallelujah, I feel the anointing. And he made a prophecy. And he said this to Aaron. He said, there is a, and we didn't tell him that we've been fasting for 42 days. We haven't been telling him that, you know, the church is hungry for, you know, move of God's spirit or the anointing of the spirit. We didn't tell him nothing like that. We're just talking. And he made this prophecy. He said, there is a thick anointing that will be released at your church very soon. Oh, hallelujah. That's a thick anointing. And he said, you got to beware. Because with new levels, there are new devils. I know, man. Brother Michael said it, all right? Write that up. But it says, God, he remembers all the prayers that this church is praying. He sees our hungry hearts. Anyhow, he's been filling us here and there, but he wants to see if you want more. Because, you know, sometimes you go into Brazilian barbecue, you know, you get like a piece of steak, right? You know, some people get like, you know, 2-3 pieces of steak, and then they flip it over to red. You know, the little thing, you got to flip it over to red, and they stop. If it's green, they continue to bring out the meat. But boy, if I taste a good piece of meat, even though I'm full, I'm hungry for more. Amen? I'm going to keep it on the green until that good meat comes back out. Hallelujah. Amen. God, he'll bless you. He'll give you a little outpouring just to see what you're going to do. You're going to stay hungry for more, or you're going to be satisfied with that little bit of filling. And boy, I've seen that this church is hungry for more. Amen? I mean, this church is hungry, and we are denying ourselves food. I mean, we love food. We love to eat in this church. Amen. And we are keeping that shabu shabu restaurant going. I wish they had like a frequent like mileage card or something. Woo! There's a thick anointing. Hallelujah. A mighty anointing. And you know what? That's a confirmation of what every person is just trying to move in the prophetic gift here in this church has said. Ooh, there's a mighty, mighty anointing. The Niagara outpouring. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, rest assured that as we continue to sow the seed of prayer, oh, we're going to reap a mighty harvest. We're going to reap a mighty harvest. The Bible says in Psalm 26, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we come through some hard stuff, and we be sowing that seed of prayer. You know what? And it's so hard, we not only sow seeds of prayer, we sow seeds of, like, tears. We just sow in tears. They're like, Lord, when? How long? When? How long? When? How long? We're just going through that tough time. And we think, when is God ever going to show up? Rest assured, all them tears you've been crying about your future husband or wife, all the tears you've been crying regarding your future calling, whatever, about your family member that's not saved, about a family member that's dying of some disease, all the sowing you're doing with your prayers and tears, you will reap with shouts of joy. Hallelujah. But you got to stay in faith. Because the Bible says in here in Galatians, right? that says, let us not become weary. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Hallelujah.
포기하지 마.
We will reap a harvest. And there's a song like, 포기하지 마. Na, 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 na. Hallelujah. Ella Kim knows what I'm talking about. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Here at this church, you know, let's just say it out loud, right? We're a church that we like to pray in the Spirit, right? And what we mean by praying in the Spirit is praying with our spirit, which Paul described in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 to be praying with tongue, right? Where you pray in a language that you don't understand. Your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit man is edified. Okay? We are a church that prays in the Spirit. And you know what? People who are on the outside, you know, non-believers, or even people that are cessationists, or people that are not open to the charismatic giftings, you know, they look at us and they go, man, what are they sowing? They are sowing foolishness. It doesn't make no sense. Hallelujah. Noah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exactly. That's how some people respond. They're like, I don't get me out of this place. People are sowing foolishness here. But let me tell you something right now. If you read the book of Acts, let me say something right now. The early church was a charismatic church. Okay? They were tongue-talking, signs, wonders, miracles-filled church. They expected it. They experienced it. Hallelujah. And they wanted more. They got a filling in Acts chapter 2. And when they were threatened in Acts 3, they prayed again and got a fresh filling in Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. It was a tongue-talking, crazy, foolish church. It was the early church. But although they sowed in what looked like foolishness to the world, they reaped the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. That's why we gotta sow. We just gotta sow. Benny Hinn, during his miracle crusades, you know, when people don't pray, he'll just be like, come on, people, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, and people are like, oh, what does that mean? Other people are like, oh, I know exactly what that means. And they pray in tongue and whatnot. Why? Because as everybody's praying the Spirit, it creates the atmosphere for the power of God to manifest. Oh, hallelujah. I guarantee you, everywhere that you go in the world, where the power of God is manifesting, you will find tongue-talking, Spirit-filled believers. Because you sow in foolishness, but you will reap the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, sometimes I sit inside an airplane bathroom, praying in tongue, and I ask myself, what am I doing? Can the stewardess hear me? You know? And you know what? First time I heard, you know, people who are really like, who really take this to another level. You know, there's a sister named Kendra. You know, she moved and get the prophecy. And when my friend Boram, she told me that one time Kendra stepped over. And Kendra was just praying in tongues while she's brushing her teeth. While she's washing up, while she's drying off, she was praying in tongues the whole time. And Boram was like, it was the most bizarre thing in the world. But then later on, I heard like other people do it. And Pastor Paul was like, yeah, man, that's what you got to do. That's what you just got to do. You just got to be filled with the Spirit. You just got to be submitted to the Spirit. Because your tongue is usually the hardest thing to submit to God. You can like raise your hands. You can sing a song of praise. But oftentimes, our tongue is the hardest thing to submit to God. So it's a very symbolic act when you pray in tongue. So God, I'm just surrendering my all. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible says the tongue is one of the hardest things to tame. That's why we got to submit to God again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. All right, off the topic of tongue. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, you sow the seed of prayer. Whether you pray with your mind, you pray with your spirit. Hallelujah. You will reap. You will reap the power of God, the harvest of mighty God. And a thick, thick anointing will fall on this church. Oh, and that's going to change everything, by the way. That's going to change everything. And Brother Michael said some personal things to me I don't want to share with you here. But I'll share with some of the leaders. But, oh, man, it's going to change everything. Oh, it's going to change everything. Oh, hallelujah. But you know, this is what we asked for. And we're going to get ready for it. Hallelujah. The next thing, next seed you can sow is the seed of finances. Okay. Seed of finances. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 12. I'm going to read an ESV. Try to read along in the NIV. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, children, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? And God says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And I say, in your tithes and contributions." Or offerings. "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not throw open," I'm going to get mixed up with the NIV, "if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight." The seed of finances. Let me tell you right now, this is the seed that vast majority of you struggle with sowing. This is the seed that, surprisingly, I find myself struggling to sow. Okay, let me tell you. Hallelujah. I tithe, and y'all know that I tithe for my gross pay. All right, and God has not been, he has not failed to show me his faithfulness. I mean, he's just blessed me. He's provided for my every need. And when I want to seek God for even greater manifestations of his favor and provision, I just give more than the tithe. I just give the offering. Hallelujah. And I give generously to the poor. And I give generously to ministries. And when I do that, man, God does not fail to show me a surprise, like support check, like a surprise, you know, offering from even a student. Like a young set student will come up to me and sometimes they just randomly give me $50. Be like, "I don't know why I'm giving you this money. I don't even have enough food to buy lunch this week, but God told me to give it to you." And I'll be like, "Oh, but I don't want to take it from, give it to me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, if the Lord impressed upon your heart to give, but I don't want to take away that blessing from you. The joy of giving. Hallelujah. I'll tell you right now, but I was at the Benny Hinn conference and this is what happened. Benny Hinn Ministries, they will ask you for money. Okay, they will ask you for money. In fact, before they preach, before they minister, they ask you for money. Sometimes they'll sing one praise song and they go into the time of offering. Okay? And in Korean culture, that will offend a lot of people. And I'm Korean American and it still offended me. And I sat there, I was like, "I don't want to give right now. I didn't even hear the sermon yet." All right? So the first session, you know, they were challenging people. You know, so, you know, this, we're coming through a time of financial crisis. But God uses the times of famine to showcase the prosperity, the favor of God's people. Hallelujah. And a lot of people just think, man, I guess poor me, I'm just going to be swept away with this financial calamity. But they were saying, you sow right now. You know, you made investments into your 401k. You made investments into your bank and they all failed you. But I'll tell you about one investment that never fails, and that's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You sow unto the kingdom of God and it will not fail you. You will receive, hallelujah, a harvest that's coming back to you and bless you. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that the blessings and the favor of God will overtake you. They're going to run you down. Hallelujah. You hear that? Right? You hear that. You're just getting convicted right there. So, you know, first night, I was like, Lord, how much should I give? Because, you know, I was going to give my tithe, you know. And I was going to give, if I was going to give, I was going to give above the tithe. I'm going to give an offering. So, Lord, how much should I give? And I just felt like, well, you know, Aaron and myself, so we should give more than 100. So, actually, I'm gonna get a little daring. I'm going to be 150 each. So, I was like, I mean, so Aaron was getting convicted of something. But, you know, I disregarded whatever she was convicted of. And I said, baby, we are going to give 300. Okay? So, we gave 300 that first session. And I was like, that's it. I'm done giving for the whole conference. All right. Next session, next morning, all right, right in, offering time again. And man, I tell you, man, the word of God they were preaching, man, it was this other dude. It wasn't Benny Hinn. It was this other dude. It was like a financial preacher. And there was an anointing upon him to preach finances. And so the first night, Benny Hinn had preached the cancellation of debt. Like, if you sow this seed, we're going to pray for your cancellation of debt. You know, I have like some big NYU student loans that I still got to pay off. You know, and people who go into NYU or some kind of private college, you know how expensive it is. So I wanted that cancellation of debt. So I want a piece of that action. So I sold. The next day, this other financial preacher gets up, he starts preaching. And I was like, no, I will resist this conviction. But man, he was good. That boy was good. I'm telling you, that boy was good. He is anointed. I was like, there ain't no financial anointing preacher. Whatever. Y'all just want more of our money. But as more he preached, he said, he kept convicting. I felt the heat. I felt like literally I just started feeling heat. So I was like, man, I'm going to give again. So people were like, yeah, you know, come up to the front and we'll lay hands on your envelope. I was like, all right. How much should I give, Lord? I asked Aaron, how much should we give, baby? And she just shrugged, and I said, it don't matter anyway. I made up in my mind what I'm going to give. All right, now we gave a lot last night. All right, we don't want to give too much now here. All right, we need some money. All right, we work off the support. All right, we're Campus Crusade staff. I'm a Campus Crusade staff. I work off of support. I don't get no salary, okay? So, you know, I gave $250. I thought that was a pretty, like, good amount. You know, that's an amount of faith. It kind of hurts a little bit, but I gave an amount of faith. But I could not ignore the conviction of God. God was like, you had another opportunity to sow. Why did you sow less? I was like, come on, Lord. Add it up. It's $550. That's a lot. I'd never given an offering in the amount of $550. Or... All right, I'll tell you right now. The next session, which was that evening, I was set. I was set. I was like, I am done giving for the month. There can be no conviction that would be so great that would cause me to give again. All right, so, you know, another message went out. Hallelujah. This financial preacher comes up. All right. And, you know, those who have antagonistic view toward prosperity preachers and prosperity teaching, you know, I sympathize with you because, you know, I was definitely there. You know, I was all there. I was all about opposing any kind of prosperity preaching. But, man, I can't. I know the anointing of the Spirit when it flows. And I'm the conviction of God. Okay. This guy, was it him or was somebody else was preaching that day? It was him. I don't remember. I don't remember the preacher. I just remember the amount I gave. Anyway, this guy, whoever is preaching that night, hallelujah. And he starts talking about, and I heard it in the morning. They had talked about it in the morning. But when he preached, man, it was something else. It was a different kind of conviction. He preached, it was that night. Yeah, it was him, the financial preacher. He started preaching about the $1,000 seed. And he was like, brothers and sisters, people of God, you're going through a hard time. You're going through a hard time, but it's in these hard times that you got to sow. If you look in Genesis, you know, 26, all that stuff, you know. In the time of famine, people sowed. And they reaped the mighty harvest. There's something about the thousand level. Now, David offered up 1,000 bulls or something like that. There's something about that thousand level. And David said, I will not give an offering that costs me nothing. I will not give to God an offering that costs me nothing. There's something about the $1,000 level. And there is 120 of you here tonight that are getting convicted of this message. And I was like, well, it ain't me. Hallelujah. That's real clear. $1,000 level. Hallelujah. And he prayed this like triple favor message, like, you know, like triple favor. Like God will give you triple. He will show. He will. You can't outgive God. I was, man, I was like trying to. And I started, you know what? And then I felt the conviction. God was like, give $1,000. I was like, is that you, Lord? $1,000? And then I started thinking this way. I was like, I ain't going to fall for these preachers. All right? Right? They're just trying to promise you prosperity. They're trying to promise you a breakthrough. They're promising you cancellation of debt. They're promising you, you know, a promotion, whatever. You know, they're promising you things, you know, favor, whatever. They're promising you that so that they can get more money. It's all gimmick. They're just trying to get more money from these people. Look at these. Look, I'm surrounded by all these harmonies using their retirement fund in order to make an offering. This is terrible. I can't believe Benny Hinn Ministries is stooping this low. How could he do this? I'm not giving $1,000 to this ministry. I'll give $1,000 to somewhere else. And I told Aaron, baby, if you give something tonight, we are going to give it to some other ministry. And then God started dealing with me. That's exactly what he said. He said, so what? So what if they use these funds? Who told you to police how Benny Hinn conferences use these funds? Do you see this conference here? It costs money. We went in for free, by the way. Everybody, all 3,000 people and the next day 6,000 people, they all went in for free. So somebody's got to pay for all that. All the staff, all the television cameras, you know, it's not free. And then he has shown this long 30-minute video of all these missions ministries that he supports. And all of them, all these little children, thank you, Benny Hinn. Thank you, Pastor Benny. Man, I had to watch that video twice. And those little kids were annoying. Like, don't thank Pastor Benny, thank God. Little children. But when it comes down to it, it was his ministry that was supporting these orphanages, these schools, you know, and I could not deny that they were doing some work. And I was just starting to think, well, they don't give, they give like 5% of that to these ministries. They keep most of it. They use it for their own, like, you know, watches and luxury items and stuff. You know, I don't know. God started dealing with me. He said, well, when you give, who are you giving to? Well, if I give, I'm giving it to you, God. What's the problem? But Lord! So, anyway, I looked at my wife, and she knew exactly what I was going to do. And we stood up, I went to the front, and I sold one of those $1,000 seeds. And the whole time, I was resisting. But you know what? When it came down to it, it was a stretch of faith. I had never given that kind of amount. An offering. We're not talking about the tithe. We're not talking about the tithe. Tithe is the minimum. Don't be proud that you give the tithe. Okay? It's the offering that costs you something. Ooh, but I gave. Hallelujah. And I knew God was like, you know, don't worry about it. You can't outgive me anyway. You can expect good things. And so I just started expecting God. All right, well, while I'm at it, how about an upgrade for my car? And how about, you know, I don't know. God will answer the ones he wants to answer. Hallelujah. But I prayed, I sowed in faith. Hallelujah. And I believe that I will reap. And as God was convicting me of this, I felt like God was like, I want you to preach this at JSCM. There are a lot of people that are tithing here. There are some people that are not tithing. Okay. The Bible says, I, the Lord, do not change. Return to me. How? You're robbing me. First of all, you need to return to me with your pocketbook. Return to me with your wallet. God don't play games. He don't say return to me with all your heart, with songs of love and adoration. He says return to me with your money. Because you're robbing me. My house is being neglected. While your house is getting nicely decorated with all kinds of furniture, whether it's IKEA or whatever. Brothers and sisters, these lights, they cost something. In the summer, we have air conditioning. That costs money. Electricity to fund, to get these speakers blasting. Money to send people on mission trips. Money to fund Mina's part-time salary, part-time wage, or salary. That takes all money. You can't just expect to come up here and think that everything's just for free. Okay? It costs stuff. And a tithe, it takes care of that. But you know what? Our congregation, we need to be a congregation of faith. Because a tithe is just the minimum, but it's the offering that expands our budget to do things that are in faith. Like if we have the funds, then we can take and make decisions of faith to expand, whether it's the missions ministry or whether it's the intern pastor program. You know, it's only as people give that those things can expand. And not only that, I'm just preaching that, but I'm preaching your reaping is in proportion to your sowing. The Bible says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. The law of the seed is you reap what you sow. But the in-depth teaching of that law is that you reap in proportion to what you sow. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to challenge you today. Let's get crazy today. Right here, come on. While we are in this 42-day fast, I'm going to give you an opportunity to sow. All right, and I'm telling you, the $1,000 level is something else. There's something about the 1,000 level. I started thinking, what about Chunun? That's 1,000. And God was like, stop playing with me, boy. Okay. Look, you give that kind of offering, all right, I don't care what kind of financial hardship you're coming through, you will get a breakthrough. God will show you who really is the one who owns the silver and the gold of the world. He said, I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's like, I own every Mercedes and every lot in the world. That's like a modern equivalent. It's like, not a literal. So I'm going to give you all an opportunity while we're in this 42-day fast. Because, you know, the 42-day fast, this is the time to sow. This is a time to seek. This is the time to sow. And so we've been sowing prayer. But you know what? I haven't called you. I have been timid about this issue. I have not called you to sow financially. Okay. When it comes down to it, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. You want to know who's the Lord of your life? Look at your pocketbook. You really want to talk about who is God over your life? Okay. Look at how you're spending your money. And today, I'm going to call y'all out. Okay? If there anybody here that wants to give a $1,000 seed, hallelujah, I want to bless what you want to do. And you want to do it in a time of sowing. Hallelujah. And you could do it later too. But I think there's going to be a special anointing upon today. Because it's the last Sunday of the 42-day fast. And I believe, hallelujah, that the more you sow, the more you will reap. But there's something special. I think there is something special about that $1,000 level, which will be million won, or whatever, in the currency exchange rate. All right, hallelujah. Let me get off that. See the finances. So if you are convicted to sow something today, put it down on your offering thing. Be reckless, I'm telling you. And God will pour out his blessing to you. The Bible says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. And I'm upsetting a lot of y'all right in here. You know what? I feel it. I need to get off this. I need to go to the third point. I feel it. It's the same opposition that I felt in my heart to Benny Hinn. You know, don't talk about my money. It's my money. You don't know how hard it is for me. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, hallelujah. You sow bountifully and you will reap bountifully. That's all I can say. You open up your giving gate, God will open up his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I've been experiencing that, by the way. Hallelujah. The third seed is the seed of service. The seed of service. Just serving others. Being good. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Look at 9 and 10. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Jesus said, even if you give a cup of water to the least of these brethren, you've done it unto me. Hallelujah. Especially to the household of faith. Especially to a minister of God. Hallelujah. Do good. Do good, brothers and sisters. Serve each other. Do good to all, especially to people in the house of God. You sow the seed of service. Oh, hallelujah. You will reap righteousness. You will reap rich relationships. You will reap healthy family, children. You know? Hallelujah. Sow the seed of service. That's why, you know, the message of hospitality is so important. Entertaining angels, you know? We got to continually, you know, it says, do not give up. Let us continue to do good. For in due season, we'll reap if we don't give up. But it says, don't give up the hospitality thing. We got to keep on welcoming people and loving on them. And just be like, hey, Brother Eddie, I just met you for the first time today. But you know what? Can I buy you dinner? Actually, I'm going to have to buy you dinner next week because we're fasting today. But can I buy you dinner? Just be good to people. Hallelujah. And you, man, you know what? And you know what? Doing good to somebody one Sunday is not it. It's like doing good to people for like 2-3 Sundays a month for like 6 months. You continue to do good and then you will reap a harvest. Hallelujah. God will watch you. He'll be like, can you do it again? Are you going to do it again? It don't take faith. It just takes a little bit of conviction from a Sunday message for you to do it today. But can you do it again next week? Can you do it again next month? Will you keep on continuing to sow the seed of service? And hallelujah, brothers and sisters, you will reap. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:18, one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. When you sow the seed of faith, service, that's like sowing righteousness. That's like sowing the character of God into the lives of the people around you. And the Bible says, one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Amen? And I'm going to close with this. John 4:37, Jesus talked about a spiritual truth. He said, thus the saying, one who sows and another reaps, is true. You know, sometimes you reap the benefit of somebody else's hard work. Amen? Those of y'all who have diligent, faithful parents, you get passed down generational blessings. You didn't sow it, but you reap the benefits. So Jesus talks about that spiritual truth here. And sometimes even the hard-earned wealth of the wicked Because, you know, even the wicked, they work hard to get their wealth. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Oh, hallelujah. You hear that? Did you just hear that? The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. There is a transfer of wealth. You get involved with the work of God's kingdom, God will supply every need for that ministry. Hallelujah. And in that respect, this saying is true. One sows, another reaps. Well, I like that arrangement. The wicked sow, and I get to reap. Hallelujah. But that's what's going to happen, even in the millennial reign of Christ, you know. Talks about, you know, you will live in houses that you did not build. Oh, hallelujah. And Jay-Z, you better keep my house nice and clean. Because one day, I'm going to be all up in it. I don't know how that really works, but I'm just trying to show you a glimpse of faith. Hallelujah. This is the case when you reap the benefits of somebody else's prayer. How did you come to Christ? Well, maybe you reap the benefits of someone else's sowing. All this to say, when you sow and you are not the one actually reaping, don't get bitter. Know that this is just the way it works sometimes. Sometimes you get to reap it. Other times, your children reap it. Or your friend reaps it. But whether you reap it in this life or the next, you will reap what you have sown. Brothers and sisters, as long as we have the opportunity, let us sow good seed by sowing to the Spirit. Led and filled by the Spirit, may we continue to sow, for we shall reap life everlasting. A rich relationship with God we reap as we continue to sow good seeds. Let's pray. Lord Father, I talked about a pretty touchy subject here today. And I know that, Lord, nothing that I can really say can move anybody to sow seeds. But I know that, Lord, it is just as experienced at the conference. I know it is the move of your Spirit when you move through people's hearts. And God, Lord, I'm preaching this message not so I can get people to sow prayer and sow finances and sow service. But I'm preaching this message so that they can reap. They can reap a harvest, oh God, Lord. That people will live a Christian life that is richly, richly blessed with a harvest of righteousness. Where they are reaping the goodness of the Lord. They are seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They're seeing your favor drop. They're seeing your provision for every need. God, I'm preaching this message that the people of God, the nations will call them blessed. So that the nations will call them blessed, oh God. But God, Lord, how can we reap anything? How can we expect a miracle? How can we expect a breakthrough? How can we expect an outpouring? How can we expect financial provision that not only provides for our every need, but overflows our cup? How can we expect these things if we are not sowing? May we not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. So God, convict our hearts so that we sow, and we sow continually, diligently, in faith. Hallelujah. Believing that indeed, as we reap, as we sow bountifully, we will also reap bountifully. May JSCM, oh God, Lord, be a church that faithfully sows, especially the seeds of the gospel. The seeds of the gospel. The seeds of the gospel may we sow into a lost and fallen world, oh God. Into the nations, oh God. May we take the seed of the gospel, oh God. For God, Lord, this seed brings forth salvation, which brings forth worshipers, which increases and magnifies your glory upon this earth. So God, Lord, may we not be deceived. If we are not sowing the seeds of the gospel into the lives of our family and coworkers and people around us, how can we expect more people to come to know you? How can we expect your kingdom to expand? So Lord, I know that evangelism message is coming and has already come. But Father, Lord, may we also not be deceived by that. That we need to sow the gospel faithfully all the days of our life. May we be always ready in season and out. Give people a reason for the hope that we have to share the gospel. Hallelujah. For your word will not return empty. So God, we just thank you. We praise you, Father God, Lord, for all the good things that you're doing here. And may this church, oh God, abound in your goodness and righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.